Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name is John Mays. I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. On last week's podcast, I asked the question, why do we pray? And I went from there to ask the same question on Facebook. And I like to do that just to make a point, basically, and to hear other people's answers, and ultimately to show the reason that apologetics is so important, is we need to know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. And during last week's podcast, we talked about why we pray, and that we pray to get into God's will. It's not to get what we want or to change God's mind or anything like that. It's we pray, A, because the Bible tells us to, and B, because we're searching for God's will, and through prayer He'll reveal that. And you wouldn't believe some of the answers that I got, and most of them, in fact, I don't think any of them, looking back, had anything to do with being in God's will. It was all about, well, we need to communicate with God, or well, we need to ask God for certain things and such things as that, which leads me to this week. And the two questions that I posed on Facebook had to do with prayer, I guess, in a roundabout way. One of them was along the lines of salvation, as far as do we need to believe, or does a person need to believe in the Trinity to be saved? And the second one, going along with last week, was, does God change His mind? So let's touch on the second one first, since we're talking about prayer. And does God change His mind? Let me tell you a quick story concerning that, and here's how I arrive at my answer on that. Well, one of the ways. When I was in high school, there was a test given by one of the teachers, obviously. Anyway, one of my classmates worked after school and obtained a copy of the test. You see where this is going. It's not a proud moment in life. But anyway, so that copy was passed around to the rest of the class, so we all knew what was going to be on the test. Well, needless to say, most of us were smart enough to at least miss some questions purposely, even though we knew the correct answer, except for one individual. Yes, there's always that one. So anyway, after the test had been graded and the teacher had said, well, you made a perfect grade, he went up and asked to change his answer. And the teacher was like, why do you want to change your answer? He said, you scored 100%. You gave all the right answers. So in that aspect, I hope you understand the example there. As far as God changing His mind, if God is perfect, which we believe He is as Christians, then why would He need to change His mind? God knows. God knows what you're going to pray before you pray it, when you're going to pray it. He knows the outcomes. Whether you believe in Reformed theology, Arminianism, Molinism, any of the theologies that are out there, God doesn't change His mind in any of those. Yes, I know that a lot of you and a lot of the answers that I got on Facebook concerning does God change His mind were yes, He does. And there's examples in the Bible where it appears that God does change his mind. I mean, he says, or the Bible states, that God relented, or God, I think in one translation actually says, changed his mind. But do you not think that God knew these situations were going to take place? That it's a concept that appears that he changed his mind, and when you're translating from a different language to help convey that concept, then you have to use the English words, the English language, for us to understand. So God knew that the Ninevites, the Jonah story and the big fish, he knew they were going to change. When he was asked to extend the life, and I forget the individual, I want to say Moses, for 15 years, God said, I would give you 15 years. But God knew these things prior to it. Doesn't make us a robot. It means that we pray and come into God's will, and God knows these things prior to us doing it. Ultimately, he cannot be perfect and change his mind. So there's my answer on that one. Obviously, at the end, I'll give you an email address, or you can comment or whatever as far as what you believe. But know this, we both can't be right. And I'm open. I mean, if you can explain it in a way that leads me to think that God actually changes his mind, then fine. I'm open to listen, and I may change my mind. I mean, I'm human. I can do that. But God, being omnipotent, knows all things. So there's your short and sweet on the changing his mind part. Now, on to the more difficult part. The other question was, does an individual need to believe in the Trinity to be saved? So let me give you a quote from a website. It's a part of gotquestions.org, I think, is the name of the website. But it states, the most difficult thing about the Christian concept of the Trinity is that there is no way to perfectly and completely understand it. The Trinity is a concept that is impossible for any human being to fully understand, let alone explain. God is infinitely greater than we are. Therefore, we should not expect to be able to fully understand him. And that was a lot of the comments concerning God changing his mind and other things. And we're going to go into more detail, and hopefully I can give you clarity on these two subjects, specifically on the Trinity at this point, and salvation. I mean, I think salvation is a whole lot more than what we make it out to be, because we teach in Sunday school, you know, ABC, and I've been questioned about this before, just accept, believe, confess, or Romans Road, you know, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you will be saved. In the book of Acts, Paul's asked, and Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I mean, I think there's a little bit more to it than that, and I'm going to explain what I mean. I don't want to make it more complicated, because I think anyone can achieve salvation. Well, I'm not going to go there, because we start talking about predestination and elect, and that's not the point. The point is salvation. If someone is what you need to believe, and we're saved by faith through grace. We know that. Bible tells us that. So what is it that we have faith in? I mean, we're saved by faith. First of all, what is faith? Faith is a trust. In other words, faith is not a blind faith. In Hebrews, it tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things seen. So faith is not blind. It's backed by evidence. It's not just you're walking around blindly hoping. I mean, we practice faith daily in all walks of life. So don't take it that you can just have a feeling. That's not faith. Faith is, as the Bible states, substance of things hoped for and the evidence. Keep that in mind, evidence, because that's going to lead to you'll see, hopefully, the Trinity and whether you need to believe the in-depth stuff outside of, okay, I just believe in Jesus. So, and that leads me to, you know, if you just believe in and you feel like you're saved, okay, well, the devil believes. And this is the beginning of why I think it's a little bit more complicated than what people seem to think or give credit to it. That's true. But you have to think of the time frame that when Paul was talking to the jailer or when Paul was writing to the Romans, Jesus had been walking around on the earth at that point. They knew who at least the person claiming to be Jesus and claiming to be God was. In today's secular world, people don't know. I mean, you look around and there's, you may think this is crazy, but there's actually people that still believe Jesus didn't exist. They're called Jesus mythicists. They think Jesus was a myth. They're not few and far between. There's quite a few of them out there. And that's, you know, they believe wrong, just to be blunt. I mean, historically, we know that a man named Jesus walked the earth. Now, is that what it takes to be saved? Do you just believe that there was a man, and his name was Jesus, and he walked the earth some 2,000 some years ago? I don't think so. I think you need to know more than that, than just that there was a person existed named Jesus. There was a lot of people named Jesus, even today. So we need to narrow that down and understand that belief is a state of mind where somebody comes to the conclusion that a fact is true. Okay, so who is this Jesus? Because belief that, if we believe that Jesus existed and that he was a man, then that's an intellectual type belief. If we believe in, we believe in our heart that Jesus existed and that he was a man, then that's an emotional type belief. So you've got different types of beliefs to support your faith and the evidence to arrive at a state of mind that concludes the fact is true. So herein lies the problem. Which Jesus? And I ask people that all the time, because they'll say, well, all you have to do is believe and confess. I'm like, believe in what? Well, you have to believe in God. Okay, we're going under the assumption that people believe in God, the Christian God. So which Jesus is it that they're believing in? Well, there's only one Jesus. Well, but people believe that he was a prophet. People believe he was a moral teacher. People believe a lot of different things. They'll go as far as to say, okay, I'll give you that there was a guy named Jesus that walked around a long time ago, but which Jesus are we asking, and here's a pet peeve, children to believe in? Do we go as far as to say, well, you need to believe that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead? You see where I'm going here, into the Trinity. And they are three in one essence, which is the easiest way to explain the Trinity. If you can define the word essence, you just tell someone, we don't believe in three separate gods. We don't believe that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are three. They are three separate individuals, but they are one in one essence. They're co-equal and co-existent. So that should help you, especially when you're talking about one of the responses I got to the question, do we need to believe in a Trinity? Somebody said, well, T.D. Jakes doesn't believe in a Trinity. Does that mean he's not a Christian? Yes, that's what that means. Part of the essential doctrine of Orthodox Christianity is believing in the Trinity. Now, do you need to believe and know how to explain that? No. But if you know who Jesus is, then you need to understand his deity. And his deity consists of him being the second person in the Godhead. Being the Son of God, you have to understand his deity, which is part of what we are confessing to believe. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Paul said, believe that Jesus, he is the Son of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that. It's an intellectual thing. Because the Bible also tells us if you're just believing with the heart is deceitful and full of wickedness. It's wicked and full of deceit. I'm sorry. The point I'm trying to get at that I want you to understand is there's more to it than just, okay, I believe in Jesus. Children that believe in Jesus also probably believe in Santa Claus or pink dragons or the flying spaghetti monster. And you may think that's silly, but you can Google flying spaghetti monster, and there's people that argue that God and the flying spaghetti monster are one and the same. You can't distinguish between the two. Anyway, way off track. So how does apologetics and Trinity fall into all of this and believing in Jesus and such things as that? And I think that leads to why there's so many denominations, because we can't agree because, A, we've never been taught. I mean, salvation is simple enough that anyone can achieve it to an extent, but it's so in-depth that we're still talking about it 2,000 years later. So it's really not that easy. In all these denominations, some claim you have to be baptized. Some claim that, you know, you can be sprinkled. Some claim that you can be saved as a child. Some say there's an age of accountability. And most of this are not essential beliefs. The bottom line is believe and confess. Okay, now what is it you want me to believe? I want you to believe in Jesus. And there's a lot of answers to that. What Jesus are you asking me to believe in? Who is Jesus? And again, it doesn't matter your theology, but it is the Trinity is part of the essentials of Orthodox Christianity. Okay, what's the essentials have to do with anything? Well, I have a podcast on the essentials, and I have a blog on the essentials, if you don't know, and part of it is belief in God, one God. And that's what we believe, so don't misunderstand that we believe in one God consisting of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three in one essence, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus being the Son of God, second person individual of the Godhead. So what Jesus do you believe in? Well, he's not a prophet, and he's not a good moral teacher. He is God. So a lot of people don't even know what they believe. I mean, you talk to them about the gospel, and now they don't know what the gospel is. So how can you expect them to believe in Jesus and not know anything about his deity and not know anything about, you know, is all they believe that he was a man and existed, and they don't know that he's part of the Trinity? Are they still saved? Well, it would seem to me that you don't understand who Jesus is, first of all. If that's all you believe is that, yes, he existed, he was a man of history, and he claimed to be the Son of God. Okay, fantastic. C.S. Lewis says he was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. So which one of those categories do you place him in? Well, I believe that he was Lord, the Son of God. There's your intellectual belief based on a fact, where apologetics comes in and why we believe. So ultimately, the Holy Spirit has to move. I mean, that's the bottom line. Let me tell you real quick about, I mean, I had no reason to become a Christian. I didn't want to become a Christian. And for that matter, why would anybody wake up one day and say, gee, I think I'll become a Christian today and follow Jesus? Okay, first of all, why would you consider doing that, and which Jesus is it you're going to follow? And I promise you, you're going to get arguments from that side, but still, in reality, why would you want to be held accountable for what you do in everyday life? Why would you choose that? People don't choose to be saved. I guess part of that's my opinion, but I think the Bible supports that the Holy Spirit must move. That's his job. The Holy Spirit convicts and converts, not us. That takes away God's power, God's perfection. So ponder that, you know, when you're thinking about whether God changes his mind or not. Maybe he didn't want you to be saved and you decided that you would be saved. Anyway, back to my conversion. I had no reason, and I promise you to this day, I still would not wake up and choose God, because we're promised to go through suffering and trials and tribulation and such things as that. We're not promised the best life now or any wealth or health or anything like that. There's no promises like that. Our reward for following Jesus is heaven. But you don't wake up and say, well, I think I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to get saved. That's not the way it works. Maybe in a childlike understanding, but not to the point of conversion. Conversion is a move of the Holy Spirit, which gives us, which is the free gift of faith that we are saved. All you have to do, you can fight that feeling. It should be a song. You can fight that Holy Spirit move. You know, that's where you just start talking about free will and all these kind of things. But to just tell somebody all you have to do is have faith in what? Or tell somebody just to believe in what? We need to be able to explain what we believe and why we believe it. Why do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And where does the Trinity fit into this? Whether you can explain the Trinity or not has no bearing on the conversation. But you at least need to understand that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, or that there is such a thing as a Trinity. And if people reject the Trinity, and this is completely different, if they reject it, then they are not Christians. And there's a lot of people out there that don't even know the difference. They don't think about these things, or they don't look into them. I don't know, but this is why I do what I do. You know, believing in Jesus is the first step. Well, a move of the Holy Spirit is the first step. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God is the mental concept that it's a true fact, and believing in is an emotional part of the Holy Spirit's move. I hope that clears it up some. The Trinity. I mean, who is Jesus? How can one believe in someone they do not know? Jesus is the Son of God, the living God of Christianity, the God, the omnipotent, omniscient God, the uncaused first cause of the universe. He is not just a prophet. He's not just a moral teacher or a good person. Fact is, he existed, and you start getting into incarnation and atonement and such things like that, and I try to make it real simple. But it's not just, I believe. You have to know what it is and why you believe it. Questions or comments? And there may be on this one. Email me at johnmays@ratiochristi.org. Or if you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, we would very much appreciate that. You can do that by going to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. We always are looking for your prayer. And now that we are using Anchor FM as our podcast host, you can actually support us right there on the podcast that you're listening to, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever. There's a little button that says support this podcast. So let me know what you think. I would think that through this one, if I've provided a clear understanding of what I'm trying to say, that you have been, as always, thunderstruck.